This is Carol. I'll be your host for Arts Live and Local in this unbelievably rich part of the world. Unbelievable because we live in a town of 10,000 people, county of 36,000. Of course, we do have our neighbors across the river from whom you'll be hearing. But even so, we're sort of at the end of the world, but the culture here is extremely rich. I have a fuller than I expected when I walked in the door show. I've got the Peninsula Players, I've got some artists from Riversea and Imogen, and Studio 11, and if all goes well, Carrie Lewis, our Astoria Music Festival chamber music friend, will be coming by as well. And we all know what's coming up next week. No, not that. Well, maybe that too. Both things. Actually, Pledge Drive starts on Monday. Be sure to tune in next Friday because I'll be here begging for your bucks to support the arts on Coast Radio. But also, I'll be doing the Tuesday show, and it is the 17th of March. You know what that means. So, let's start out the show with little bit of music from Catherine Clare Hanzaraki. Catherine's going to be playing tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday night in three different locations with the Lasses, a Dutch trio who look terrific. So have a listen. Thanks for being here. And enjoy, hopefully, the beautiful weather. It's, I'm sorry, but it's 63 degrees Fahrenheit here. We're in heaven. Thank you. Well, you're hearing Catherine Clare and Hans Araki with one of their outrageous Celtic conspiracies. And this particular one, though, is not the one of love and murder. It's the spring solstice, as I roved out Songs of Spring. But the roving this time is being done by Catherine Clare with the Lasses, a Dutch folk duo, and they will be tonight at the Hoffman Center in Manzanita, and that is at 7:30. Then tomorrow night, they will be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach at 7. And then on Sunday, they will be at the Fort George in Astoria at 8. So they are definitely on the move. And if you've seen the photo of these two women, it's hilarious. And they each have a guitar. And Catherine plays guitar, too. She also plays fiddle and sings. And I don't know what else is going to be going on that night. But with three performances all over the duo counties here, hopefully you'll be able to catch an act. And, of course, they're Dutch, but they're playing Celtic. What else? What else do people do these days? It's a wonderful thing. Well, I'll tell you what else they do. They do theater. And we do theater, lots of theater in this area. And here in the room with me, I have three intrepid souls. Two of them are, how shall I say, well experienced in the theater world. But, yes, folks, we do have a radio virgin right here. Mitch Reed is here. And it sounds as though, Mitch, you might be a theater virgin as well?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. No. You've been on stage.
Yeah, quite a few times.
Quite a few times. But this time you were not planning to be on stage and they drew you in.
Yeah, Rita put me in a few different little parts, so she's got me on stage, so I have to put makeup on.
Your favorite thing, I can tell. Yeah. And the Rita of whom he speaks is right here with us, and that would be Rita Smith. Hi, Rita.
Hello.
And Rita is not only the director, but she is also, I just learned, going to be on stage as well. What are you doing on
stage? I'm playing the part of Audrey, who is Seymour Crowborn, who is the young man who has strange plants, and he likes me and I like him, but we don't realize that.
Oh, no. Sweet. How old are you supposed to be in these things?
Oh, well, I'm a December bride, so,
Okay.
It's all relative.
You know, there are people who have never heard of Little Shop of Horrors, and so I'm glad you gave a little taste of that. We may need to tell a little bit more. Mm-hmm. The show is opening tonight. Actually, there is a champagne opening at 6:15. The show itself goes on at 7.
Correct.
And that is tonight and tomorrow night at 7, and then on Sunday at 2. And it is in one of the sweetest theaters in the area, and that is the River City Playhouse in Ilwaco. And I'll give you a phone number just right off the top, in case you want to jot that down, 360-665-0028.
You can also also do our that's my personal phone number, but you can also call 360-244-5700, and that's the Peninsula Players cell phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good. So somebody, would you suggest that people get tickets in advance?
If they're coming tonight, they may want to call. I'm not sure if we're sold out. Oh. We do have tickets at the door if available. We seat 90, so chances are there would be a couple tickets left.
But I have been there when it has been packed.
Yes.
So it is a good idea to check in, especially, I mean, if you're local and you're just walking down the block, no problem.
Right.
But if you're coming from anywhere else, you might want to. Mm-hmm. My third guest, sitting patiently by, is Bob Walters. And, Bob is definitely a veteran of theater and music and some, talk about strange beings. It's that vampire act. Every time I see
my
you,
zombie band.
Your zombie band. I always think of that, although I've known you from when you taught music at Napa, which is a long time ago.
Well, actually, the first time that I was involved with Little Shop of Horrors was doing exactly what I'm doing in this production. I was the musical director, but and the bass guitar player, but I was also the voice of the plant in that, and that was just a lot of hats to wear. I did that with Susie Brown in 1990.
Oh my goodness! Yep. Yep, at Napa High School. How fun! So this time you don't have to do the voice because, ta-da!
Mitch is there.
Mitch has got the voice. So I see it, Mitch is doing the voice of Audrey too. What does that mean? As opposed to,
that's the plant.
That's the plant,
right?
Who Seymour? He didn't know what kind of plant, so he names it after me.
Oh, how lovely. Audrey. Isn't that nice? That's quite sweet. Who is playing Seymour in this production?
Robert Shearer is playing Seymour, and he is just wonderful. He has 13 songs. He's on stage almost yeah. all the time, and he does not miss a beat. And wow. he is just fantastic.
We're not talking all solos, though.
Well, there are some ensemble songs, but he does sing
solos.
A lot in this show.
Wow.
It's really a show built around Seymour and his plant.
Right.
So does Audrey, too, sing as well, Mitch?
Yeah, I've got a few songs. I do a duet with Robert, and then I do an overlay song while they're on stage, and then I do a duet with Audrey.
So when you're doing the duets, are you on stage? What are you wearing anyway if you're a flower? I don't get it. Well, I have to tell people, Mitch is not a small man. Let me just leave it at that. Go on.
We have a plant, and we have a fantastic puppeteer that's running the plant.
Oh.
Patrick is doing just a fantastic job with that. And
how fun.
We really worked together to try and get the movements right and everything, and he's incredible.
So are you like throwing your voice or something? Or how is this working? Or is this a secret? Is this a theater secret? I should ask Rita because she's the director.
He's the musical director. He
set
okay. that part
you
up.
Said it. You know, I should have known. Well, this sounds like something you would have done, Bob Walters. Yes, go ahead.
Well, Audrey, too, starts out small and ends up about 5 feet tall and about 4 feet in diameter.
Oh, Mitch is
enough,
not that big.
Large enough to consume a person. The part of Audrey II is actually played by two people. There's a puppeteer that operates the plant, and then there's the voice of Audrey II. And Mitch plays the voice very well. Mm-hmm. And
this is going to
so
be
we
a
have,
stitch.
We have him rigged up so that everybody knows what Audrey is up to.
I get it. Okay. Boy, you're going to be in comfortable. You're going to be very comfortable. So, Rita, is yours the easiest part or what? You're the girlfriend or the...
It's a small cast, and all the cast is... they're all stars.
It's an ensemble.
There's no small part. You
right.
know, well, Mitch has a couple little walk-ons. But other than that, the shoebop girls, they're on and off all the time singing.
The shoebop
right,
girls.
And they're singing back up to many, many of the songs.
Are you doing it the way it was written originally? And where was this performed and when?
The show itself has been performed in several different ways. There was an original version that came out in the 1960s, and I think it may have been Jack Nicholson's first movie, but there was no music involved.
Yeah.
Then a play was written, a regular Broadway production, which is basically what we're doing. And then there was a movie made of this at about 1984 that starred Rick Moranis as Seymour. And that's the one that I think most people are familiar with. But yes, the show has come
it's
a long
taken
way.
On many lives, including and, right here in our area.
Yes.
And each version is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. Which is more fun. And also gives you, as the director and the musical director, more ability to be creative about mm-hmm. it. And probably you let some of your cast have input, too, I would
absolutely.
Presume. That's mm-hmm. Especially with an ensemble group.
Right.
Again, folks, this is the Peninsula Players. We are blessed to have two theater groups on the Washington Peninsula. That's right across from Astoria, if I want to be geocentric because I'm sitting, we're all sitting right now in Astoria. And this is in Ilwaco, the River City Playhouse. Do you want to give an address for that?
Go down Spruce, the main street in Ilwaco.
Yeah, it's across the street from the post office.
Is it right on the main street?
Well, you turn left at the sign for the post office, and the theater is right across the street from the post office and next door to the Heritage Museum.
Right.
Oh, so, yeah. I thought that was Lake Street.
That might be Lake Street.
Yeah,
we're on Lake Street. And
Wait a second. Excuse me.
Yes.
I don't even live there. I'm not in the production, and I know where it is, and you don't. Come on, guys. You better get
there
tonight.
That's why we live, because we live there. You don't know.
We know where it is. We don't need to know the name.
That's true. No, that's true. Try Brown's Meat sometime. We know nothing. Okay, the River City Playhouse in Ilwaco, and all you have to do if you get there and don't know where you're going is ask anyone, because it's a small town, very small town. Tonight and tomorrow night at 7. Tonight is opening, and so they are starting with a champagne opening at 6:15, and then Sunday at 2. It runs through March 29th, so you've got 3 weekends. Mm-hmm. Am I correct? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for 3 weekends. Little Shop of Horrors with Rita Smith, director, and on stage, Bob Walters, musical director, and creative... input. And Bob, what are you going to be wearing tonight? Anything special?
I will be wearing black, as all good pit musicians do.
Okay, okay. And Mitch Reed, and you got to go to see what he's going to be wearing. I have no idea. And Mitch, congratulations. You are no longer a radio virgin.
Thank you.
That's lovely. And the number there is 360-244-5700 if you want to check in on tickets. Anytime you can reserve your tickets, but especially for tonight, opening night. Thank you so much for being here, and you two break your legs, and Bob, don't.
No.
Okay.
I'll keep,
keep intact. Okay. Coming up right now, I have more Celtic music, but this is a little bit different because this is Katie McNally, and she's a Scottish fiddler. She's going to be playing at the Pine Grove Community House in Manzanita on March 15th. That would be this Sunday at 6 p.m. Yes, okay. And that is Katie McNally, who is, she's a young Scottish fiddler. She is playing on Sunday at the Pine Grove Community House in Manzanita. Not to be confused with Catherine and the duo playing also Celtic, the Lasses they are, and they're Dutch, and they're playing Celtic, and they're at the Hoffman tonight. So you have a chance to hear lots of wonderful music in Manzanita. Actually, that happens quite often there. Music and art is alive and well in North Tillamook County, as it is in Clatsop County, and as it is right here on Coast Community Radio, because you are listening to Arts Live and Local. And I have two guests, actually. I snuck in a third, but right now we're focusing on two guests, and they are two women who are each showing their art, her art, in Astoria at two different galleries. So I'm going to interview them separately, but I'm going to have both mics open because I'm hoping that they will feel free to jump in on it. Okay, so if you have a question for each other, please just do it. As a matter of fact, have you seen Jill?
Yes, I am familiar with her work.
Okay, good.
It's beautiful.
Good. So that first voice you just heard is Kelly McConnell. Holy cow, I just had Katie McNally, now I have Kelly McConnell. I'm telling you, it's big time. But yours is M-A-C. Does that make you Scottish then?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well, so is Katie McNally, actually. Only she lost her A somewhere there, maybe. I don't know. So Kelly McConnell is from Portland, and mm-hmm. she is a printmaker, and she is showing her art at Riversea Gallery, along with our local artist, Sterling Gorsuch, who has been in this room many a time with his wonderful prints. So I'm going to let me introduce my second artist, and then I'm going to come back to you, Kelly.
Sure, thanks.
And Jill Mayberg is my second woman artist. Now, remember, it is Women's History Month, so you two are it for, you know, the show today. Actually, I have one more artist coming, too, from a different angle. And Jill is showing her work at Imogen Gallery, opening tomorrow night. These are both, both shows are opening tomorrow evening during Astoria Art Walk. And the name of Jill's show, I love it, Four Paws, a Crow, and a Paper Boat. And you have to see the card, too, although there's more than one crow, I noticed, you know.
It's actually a typo. It was supposed to be a crown and a paper boat, but a crow works, too. So.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So
that's
I work. Threw more crows in, but there's crowns and crows. Yeah.
Hey.
Serendipitous we mistake.
Are, and we're very flexible around here. Well, I when I saw the announcement of Jill's work, I said, oh, I love her work. I've known that for... And then I found out it's actually her first show, her first official solo show at Imogen Gallery.
Exactly.
I actually have purchased her cards before because they are so rich with images of paws and feathers and all kinds of good things. So let me come back to Kelly, though, because Kelly, I've only mm-hmm. seen your work online.
Yeah.
But it's one, I should say, and it's wonderful.
Thank
you. And meeting you, I see that you are relatively, especially in this room, relatively young. So, not putting any numbers on things. And I know Sterling is definitely young. Sterling's mm-hmm. still a student. Are you also a student at this point?
No, I'm not a student. I feel like I am on some levels.
Student of life.
Yeah. No, I actually graduated from Portland State University in 2012. So not too long ago. But
no.
Yeah.
Did you study art at PSU? Or
I did, yes. And then I started out as a drawing painting major, and then I took a printmaking class, like an intro class, and I'd actually never really done much printmaking before that, and I absolutely fell in love with it. and switched majors. Yeah.
And so what year was that? In like 2010 or something?
Like that.
You know, it's very interesting because we have had this same phenomenon right here in Astoria. And I mean, explosion of printmakers. Royal Nebaker was the core of it here.
Yeah, that's what I've
heard. And we lost Royal just recently, but boy, his legacy is very deep and very rich. And printmaking seems to have just an idea whose time has come.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah,
of course,
again.
It's been here forever, but right now. So tell me, what is it about printmaking what grabbed you? Because you were already in the arts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, one of the biggest factors that I really enjoy about it is the surprise factor with it. It's just, you know, you're doing all this work and into this image, but, you know, you never really know what it's going to look like until you, you know, run it through the press and peek under that paper or, you know, after you're done rubbing it or, and I think it's that, you know, that kind of like chance and excitement behind it of, you know, how is this really going to turn out in the end? And I really enjoy that.
That's interesting because that wouldn't have occurred to me. I wasn't sure. Jill, have you done printmaking?
I did some printmaking years ago, and I love printmaking. It's fabulous. And I've done some mono printmaking, and it is like Christmas when you pull the sheet. And I love the different papers, the feel of the papers, mm-hmm. and I like the way the inks look when you print. There's just a certain feel and look to printmaking that's luscious.
Do you still do that at all?
Not really. I just seem to be a painter. I keep trying to get time to do more drawing and printing, mm-hmm. but painting is pretty time-consuming the way I paint. It's mm-hmm. very layered, so mm-hmm. I
we're going to get more on that.
Sure.
I like the idea that the good news is hopefully you have some time ahead of you. So, you know.
There's an allure to printmaking, too, in that maybe you can get more than one print out of the edition. So,
do you do that, Kelly, or are you mostly doing mono prints?
No, I usually have an edition, mm-hmm. and so I'll do more than one.
Your work is pretty sophisticated, though. So, did that come from your drawing experience? Have you always been an artist, a doodler when you were tiny?
I think it's kind of deep rooted. I've always been into drawing, painting, and really any kind of art. I've kind of like dabbled in younger growing up and just always had a love for it.
Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
How'd you get here?
I moved to
say anything
Portland.
You don't want. I know. The whole world to know. You know.
I moved to Portland, let's see, about 10 years ago.
Oh.
And it was just kind of on a whim. I was feeling, before that, I was just kind of traveling about and in and out of school.
You mean you're
and
older than you look then, huh? Unless you came with
possibly.
Your parents. I don't know.
And it was just more for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And to eventually the plan was to go back to school. I'd taken a little time off school. I had gone my freshman year and then took some time to travel. And then so I came to Portland and refocused and found printmaking.
And your subject matter?
Most of it's nature-themed landscapes. A lot of trees are my passion. I have a passion for the outdoors and
the right
hiking and backpacking and all of that. So I think a lot of my inspiration comes from nature.
And had you known Sterling?
I haven't met Sterling yet. I know. I'm so excited to meet him. I've heard so many good things.
Yeah.
And I've seen his work before, and I love it. It's amazing.
Right. I love the idea of the two of you working together.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it's exciting.
And have you been on the radio before?
No, I haven't.
Jill?
No, first time.
Oh,
I volunteered.
Oh, my God. Folks, that makes three so far, and we're only halfway through the show. Two radio virgins. I love it. But this is it. This is your last time to be a radio virgin, so enjoy
it.
You know,
that's good.
Well, congratulations on the show.
So much,
wonderful. And again, this is at River Sea Gallery. Tomorrow evening is the art walk from 5 to 8. And it means there's stuff happening all over town. It's well worth, and this weather is ridiculously fabulous. It's a perfect time to be walking around town looking at art. Plus, the lights stay on in the sky later, so it's a really good time. That's 1270 Commercial. Around the corner on 11th Street and Marine Drive is Imogen Gallery, and that's where Jill's Four Paws, A Crow, A Crown, and A Paper Boat.
Exactly. It can just expand from
there. Sure, why not? And mixed media painting.
Sure.
What does that mean?
I guess they define it as more than one medium traditionally. So in addition to acrylic paint, I use pastels. And my latest technique has been cutting out a cotton rag paper, which is it's got a nice feel to it. It's a nicely made paper. And I fix it to a substrate, which gives the image some depth.
What is substrate?
Because it's a canvas or wood panel, or basically canvas or wood panel. I glue it down. I create a paper sketch, and that way I can move the shapes around. And then I paint the whole thing with underlayers, and then I rub pastels over those. And then
no wonder it's so time consuming.
There's a lot of stuff going on, yeah.
See, what's interesting is looking at it, to me, what I thought was just the paintings are so dense. I could just spend hours or go away and come back and see something brand new. There's so much.
I get that feedback often.
But now you're explaining the process, which is a whole nother dimension that's
right.
Taking time and different ways of looking at it.
Well, I had seen a documentary on Frank Gehry, who's a famous architect, and he was working with an assistant, and they were cutting out shapes for buildings and just playing around, and kind of got me thinking about that and doing the same thing. I started cutting out shapes myself and then just moving them around the canvas. And I really liked it because you could see a gesture, and you can see, like, when I would sketch it out or start a painting, and then it just felt like it was a little bit more permanent. And I really connected to that way of working. And I also just love the dimension and the texture I get from this method. But I move around, and so sometimes I change my method.
You are. Yeah. Very rich with animal images too, though.
Right.
Is that always been that way, or?
For a long time, I don't solely paint animals, but I do connect to animals a lot. And I also, I make a living full time, and I find that a lot of people connect to their animals. I know you do. You have this lovely dog in the foyer that I fell in love with.
Oh, good.
And I really relate to children's art and mm-hmm. outsider art, and and kids just love animals. I love animals.
I think what grabbed me the first time I saw your work was that I'm involved in folk art, mm-hmm. music, mm-hmm. dance.
Me too.
And it definitely spoke to me, not to mention the colors that I walked in the gallery today, and it was
thank
like,
you.
Whoa, and they're not even hung yet.
Yeah,
you know,
but thank
it,
you
it's
so
like,
much. Yeah, it's very
really
visceral for me when I go to a museum, and I love so much of the art, and that really inspires me. But a lot of times when I hit the color or mm-hmm. the primitive mm-hmm. or Aboriginal art, I get that stomach mm-hmm. butterfly movement.
So have you always been making art?
No, but my mother she taught early childhood, like kindergarten and first grade. So we would melt crayons, and there was a very crafty household, and we lived near a art town.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in suburban New Jersey, but I lived very close to a town called Roosevelt, New Jersey, which was a WPA town and had a lot of famous artists mm-hmm. like Ben
mm-hmm.
Shawn. And
mm-hmm.
so it was a big influence on my mom.
Woo, so much. But the three of us could sit here and talk for hours. However, it's time for us to stop. So.
Oh, I just wanted to promote the Oregon Art Beat, if I could.
Oh, yeah.
My gallery wanted me to do that.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Well, I will be on Oregon Art Beat April 2nd. if anybody wants to see my process, they actually film the we go to the zoo and I take some pictures of animals and then they will go to my studio and you can see how I actually set the pieces up. So
now, do you have to watch that on a television or?
You can watch it on their website as well.
Okay.
So just Oregon Art Beat.
Terrific.
Google that.
And this is Jill Mayberg. That's Mayberg. April 2nd, but probably you'd be able to access it after that as well.
Yeah, it'll be on their website, and they will also be airing it the subsequent Sunday to April 2nd.
Yee, so. Congratulations. How exciting. Lovely. Again, Jill will be at Imogen Gallery, 11th and Marine Drive, and Kelly McConnell, my printmaking guest from Portland. Jill, you're in Portland also, is that right?
Pretty much. Vancouver. 5 minutes from Portland.
It's all the same to us up here. And not just kidding, of course.
Folks. Not down there.
Kelly will be at River Sea Gallery, 1270 Commercial. And lots of other gallery. Tempo Gallery has Edward Peterson. And also they will have music with Birds of a Feather, who are terrific, but couldn't put my hands on their album, and they're both full-time working in Seattle, so they couldn't be here. And the North Coast Food Web is opening up their place on Saturday evening, too, during Art Walk from 5 to 8. They'll have an open house, and that's on 18th Street, 577 18th. And then they have tortilla soup at the Columbian Theater at 9:30, something like that. So get yourselves out. There's lots more places, but I'm going to let them go. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for
having
us.
This has been great.
Thanks,
okay. Now, in the studio right now, I'm going to have my other guest who's been quietly sitting here. And this is someone you may recognize, you should recognize if you listen to this show, because Carrie Lewis has been on, lots of times.
Several times.
Carrie, I love
it's
when
good to
you
be
come
back.
To town. So are you here officially this weekend? Or
I think semi-officially.
Semi-officially.
I came into town this afternoon to help somebody working on the piano in the Liberty. And getting it ready, they have new hammers. The piano, it's like a totally new instrument. It's fabulous. It's going to be so much fun to listen to it, to hear the difference between what it was like before.
This is the Steinway.
The Steinway, yes.
Ooh, so it's going to be even better.
It's been spruced up.
How fun.
And I'm working with them a little bit for voicing and so forth and so on, to be ready for these Russians that are coming to town.
Yes, on Sunday, the Russians are invading.
The Russians
and that's
are coming. The Russian, remember the old
right,
movie?
Right, the Russians are coming. The Russians. It's the Hermitage Piano Trio. And on piano is Ilya Katsantsev. And on cello is our good friend. And Ilya's been here before, too.
Yes.
What was that, just last year?
I think it was just last year.
Yeah, because they were here in the studio, too. And our good friend who's been coming to the Astoria Music Festival for years, and that is Sergei Antonov on cello. And then Misha Kalin on violin. Is that what I understand?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So that makes the trio. They will be at the Liberty Theater at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And that is this is part of the outreach small concerts by the Astoria Music Festival. We are warming up, huh?
It's hot stuff trying to get everything ready and put in the right place all the time.
Well, now you are the chamber music director for the Astoria Music Festival. Is that right?
I have been accused of that. Yes,
you've been accused of a lot of things, Carrie. If you've ever been to the Astoria Music Festival, you have seen and heard Carrie playing piano, announcing with his wonderful sense of humor and his mass of knowledge as well. But don't you have some kind of a workshop maybe going to happen?
This year is going to be our second year, I believe it is, or is it the third year? I can't remember now how many years we've done this with amateurs, people who were good in music when they were younger, but were smart enough to go into something else. But still like to get together and sort of play music together, and that'll be happening in the last weekend of June, and we'll have a rather nice string quartet coming in to help be coaches this time, and I'll get to play a chord.
So wait, does this mean after the official music festival?
Well, you know, still... don't forget the official music festival goes all the way, particularly this year.
Yeah.
It goes all the way to the end of so it'll be the final weekend of the music festival, and it'll be happening simultaneously with the grand finale with Angela Mead and all of that stuff
In
the final week.
It's going to be another incredible festival. But tell us, who in the listening audience might be interested in doing this? You said already they can be amateurs who haven't even played for a while but want to get back into
it.
You need to read music.
You need to be able to read music. You need to understand what's involved in playing with other people and have an interest in it.
You have to play nicely with other people, too.
Yes, it's important. That's one of the nice things about chamber music. It helps you figure out how to get along. And
but isn't chamber music a small group?
It's a small group. It's not like going into a band. It's not...
Right.
It's no conductor. But
you really have to pay attention.
You have to know what you're doing, and you have to be able to adjust to other people.
Right. And so how many people are you allowing to come?
Well, we're hoping to get. I would love it if we could get up to 32 people. We're not there yet.
Wow. Okay. And then would they break up into small groups?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what I was thinking was that we could get about 8 groups out of 32 people.
Fantastic.
So we've got the coaches figuring out. Enough coaches for about 8 groups.
So what instruments do they need to?
It's best if it's violin, cello, or viola, or piano.
Okay. Now, how would they do piano since there's
the same way I do pianos. Oh, you mean in physically where do we find the pianos? We have in the past managed to work it out with wonderful people who live here in town who have pianos at their house.
Okay.
And we've also done some stuff at churches.
Churches, right, yeah. Right. Okay, well, that's exciting. So now what should someone do if they want to...
Go to the website and find the listing for the, I think it's called the Astoria Music Festival Workshop or Adult... Chamber Music Workshop.
Chamber Music Workshop. Yeah. Okay, and that's AstoriaMusicFestival.org. Couldn't be simpler. And Carrie Lewis is the person who can answer all your questions about anything. He's my go-to man, actually. So I'm looking forward to seeing you very soon as part of the music festival.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for squeezing me in.
I hope to see you on Sunday.
On Sunday, and they're going to do Rachmaninoff, Beethoven, Schubert, and Brahms.
Woohoo! Okay, so that is Sunday at 3 p.m., but get there earlier than that, obviously, for the Hermitage Piano... I'm not going to give you a Russian accent. Hermitage Piano Trio, Sergei Antonov on cello, Ilya Kazantsev on piano, and Misha Kalin on violin. 3 o'clock on Sunday at the Liberty. That's 12th and Commercial. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the time.
Okay, great to see you as ever. So I have one more guest, and I believe I saw her walk in the door, and that would be Sherry. So let's hear a little more music this time. Let's see. Well, we'll find out. I have music from... one of our original Portland Irish musicians from Ireland, Kevin Burke, has been in Portland for many years. And, you know, Irish music was huge. And Portland was one of the foci. So, and then he teamed up with Cal Burke, who is one of my new favorites. And... So I have some music from the two of them. Let me put it on, and then I'll bring you Sherry. Thank you. are listening to the fabulous music of Cal Scott and Kevin Burke. So do be sure to tune in all of next week and show us your love. Show us your love and your dollars, your financial support. But today, you get to just once more enjoy the wonderful art scene. And my last guest today is an artist from Eastern Washington. And Sherry Boyd Yost is here for, I believe, are you staying for a month? Something like that?
Till the end of the month. Yeah.
Till the end of the month. Okay. So Sherry is here, and she is a fabulous glass artist. I'm not sure that's a legitimate term. I'm going to let her give you the correct terminology. But she's a professional, and she is offering two workshops this month. On the 21st of March, that's a Saturday, from 1 to 5, drawing and painting with glass frit. And the second, I like saying that word, and the second is Saturday and Sunday. It's 2 days, the 28th and 29th, and that is, and I wrote it down, I have no idea what it means, though, photo emulsion silk screen printing with vitreous glass paints onto glass. Is that right?
Yes, and then it's fired in.
Okay, and then it's fired. First, you have to explain what we're talking about. So welcome, Sherry.
Thank you.
And we determined that Sherry is not a virgin. She was disappointed to learn that, but she's actually been on this show before. Was that a few years back, maybe?
Yes.
Okay. And so you come to visit us. You do have a... There's somebody in this town, I have a feeling, with that same middle name. Oh, yes, Jamie Boyd. That's right. And all of this is happening at Studio 11, which is the gallery that Jamie Boyd runs. And Sherry, however, flashes in usually for a quickie. So we're lucky to have her for a longer stay this time. Tell us a little bit about your personal work in the arts.
Well, I've been working in architectural glass for, well, let's see, 38 years now, I guess.
What does that mean, architectural
glass? Well, windows that are done in large buildings.
Like
churches and private homes and businesses.
So these aren't just like windows like that.
Correct. It's more a mullion system or grid that you build the windows into for their security.
And these are... A little bit fancier than that? Or could they just be plain glass as well?
They could be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The mullion system is what holds a grid work for the windows to be safely installed so that they're not going to hurt anybody or the windows won't come crashing down.
But oh, yeah. I've done that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Where did you get this and why?
I studied... architectural glass in Germany at the Hein Derrick studio in Kevelaar, West Germany. And they were a studio of 50 artists that fabricate for designers of Germany. So we were able to see the best artists working on their particular part of building a large set of cathedral windows.
What inspired you to that? What came before that?
Well, years ago in high school, we took stained glass and, you know, my whole family are artists, so we've all inspired each other. Our aunts and uncles, everybody's very creative. So.
And you grew up in?
Yeah, in Spokane.
Spokane.
With a family of 8 kids. They all have their own particular craft.
But the school did offer art.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you got it. Is that what you first... started getting serious about it, or did you know from the time you were a child, I want to be an artist?
Yeah, I've known since I was young. Yeah, so we all are artists, so we've been drawing since we started walking.
That's great. And some of you have managed to make it a full-time profession.
Yes.
Which is admirable.
Yeah.
So you go to Germany, you learn this methodology, and then what else?
And then I went to Pilchuck Glass School, and... I studied with some designers of architectural glass. Before that, I lived in Bellingham, Washington, where we had a glass painting studio that was in the late 70s. There was not much taught about glass painting. Uh-huh. So we were really trying to make a lot of mistakes and learn a lot.
All right.
And so then a man named Albinus Elxus came out with a book that showed all the histories, stories of how this process is done, which was most glass malarize of Europe or Germany will not give these secrets out.
Oh.
And Albinus came along with this book and really wow. upset quite a few families.
Yeah. I'm thinking that in Germany, especially the folks that I know who grew up there, Germany and Austria, apprenticed in order to learn something. They didn't get it from public books or
definitely and it was usually in the family
so you worked with the master and passed it down, or if you got lucky they took you in from outside.
So
why did you choose glass to begin with?
I've just always been drawn to it, just always.
Even when it wasn't as popular and so now what kind of work do you do? You because I've seen some of your colorful stuff as well.
Well, I do a range of private commissions to my own artwork, which I am really shooting to do. I just finished a project that took me a year, and I'm really wanting just to play with my own materials and techniques I've learned through all the restorations of some church windows and that, or private commissions that I just finished a project that was a set of 12 panels from a church that was from the 1800s. And then I was to put them into an arrangement of a collage, and they were all glass painted. And glass painting, you have to continue painting or your eye will float in the window. You can't really, you need continuity with the painting altogether. And that really helps you. So anyway, the project was to take these 12 panels, create a collage, and then fill in the other spots, pulling other design elements from that set, those sets of windows. And that made up three windows equaling 50 square feet.
Oh, my goodness. So and where was this?
This is in a private home.
Oh,
the
big home.
Yes. It's in their bathroom, of all things.
Big bathroom.
Yeah, yeah. And they're all their angels. Beautifully done.
Okay, so now we only have a couple more minutes, so let's skip over to what are folks going to learn in your workshop. Again, Saturday, the 21st of March, which is actually next week, from 1 to 5, drawing and painting with glass frit.
Well, that will be taking frit powder, fine powders, and sifting them onto the glass, and then you just take materials, brushes, credit cards, anything you can use to manipulate pushing the glass around to get the image you want. And then you can powder in color. And a lot of times that takes a firing of the dark work, the black, or whatever lines you're starting with, and then coming in the second time and putting in more color.
So will people walk away with something, or they have to leave it there to cook?
They will be able to take home things.
Okay.
And yes, they will have to leave it there to cook.
Okay, and they will make any size they want, or is there a particular size?
We'll probably keep it, depending on how many we have all together, we'll keep it at sizes that will go in the firing.
Gotcha.
Probably 5x7, 10x10, something
so
like that.
So you've got the kiln right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then on Saturday and Sunday, the 28th and 29th, from 10:30 to 4, so this is two full days.
Yeah.
That long thing I said, photo emulsion, silkscreen printing with vitreous glass paints onto glass. And you have 1 minute or less to tell us.
Photo emulsion is like cake batter that you squeegee onto a silkscreen and it dries and it's so light sensitive. And you take your image, you print it onto acetate or transparency, you lay that onto the screen once it's dried, and you expose it to a 500-watt light. It will cure it. Everywhere you see black, it will not cure it. Everywhere the image shows clear through it, it will cure it. So then when you rinse that screen out, you have an image to print. We use vitreous glass paint that is made of metal oxides and glass pigment, and it is actually fired onto the glass and becomes the glass. So when we print it with that, you can fire it and have an image of your photograph or anything like that.
Okay, folks, if you have been intrigued by this as I have, you might want to get in touch with my guest, Sherry Boyd Yost. Sherry, how do they do that?
509-768-0372.
And can they also check in with Studio 11?
Yes. Jamie.
791-9435. And if you need more information, you can also get in touch with me at the station, and I'll turn you over to Sherry, because these are... Okay, Studio 11 is on 11th and Exchange. It's under the Elks building, and this is quite an opportunity, because Sherry is just here for this month. So check it out, folks. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay.